This is Meet the Movie Press. It's November the 8th, 2019. On the show this week, the Batman casting news, less is more for Star Wars, the Invisible Man trailer, and Scream Again, plus the box office, and Doctor Sleep and Last Christmas reviewed. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talks, Meet the Movie Press.
This is Meet the Movie Press. It is November the 8th, 2019. My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me on social media at ShowbizSimon on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, you can find this show at Meet Movie Press on Twitter. Thank you for joining us. Before we get to our guest panelists today, I want to just shout out Hugh Jennings in the chat already in there saying, still the best show on the internet. Hugh, if you believe that, tell more people because they need to know. And Kame Egan, good morning, movie fans. Good morning to both of you already in the chat. Really important to everybody in the chat. You are a major reason why we do this show every single week, so thank you so much. Without an audience, there is no point at all. And also, the main point of the show is the fact that we get to invite Wendy back today. Wendy, thank you so much for coming back.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I always have such a great time here, and I'm really excited for all the topics we're going to talk about today.
Well, your insight is always invaluable. You always have a very unique voice, which is hugely valued, and we appreciate you being on the show. This week, before we start on the topics, let's find out, for people who don't perhaps know who you are or your work, who are you and where can we find your work?
Well, you can probably find me on Collider in various videos, a lot of times on Mailbag and sometimes Rumor Mill. I have my own YouTube channel with my husband where we do movie reviews, trailer reaction, things like that, and that is the Movie Couple channel on YouTube.
And your social media?
It's at Wendy Lee Zaney.
Fantastic. Okay. It's great to have you on the show today. We have a lot of Star Wars stuff to talk through as well. We have a lot of box office stuff for films that we have both seen this week, which is great. In fact, we sat next to each other for one of them this week, which was a real treat. Okay, let's start off with something that everybody on the internet had an opinion on this week. Mostly positive, though, for a change, which was great to see. The Batman wants Colin Farrell to play the Penguin, and Andy Serkis is in talks to play Alfred. This is obviously a brand new reimagining of Batman, the Batman world. Robert Pattinson, we know, is going to be Batman. A lot of talk around casting recently. A lot of people, obviously, Jonah Hill was lined up for the Penguin, now Colin Farrell. Probably a name that I would not have picked out of a bag, but a lot of people are really liking that. First of all, Colin Farrell, how do you feel about him potentially as the Penguin?
It was certainly a choice out of the left field for me.
Yeah.
It's not a bad choice in my opinion. I am really, really excited. I remember he was Bullseye in that Daredevil movie, which not the best movie, but I thought he was like a lot of fun as Bullseye. I really liked him in Fantastic Beasts, and I was very, very sad that his role didn't go further. I want to see more of him in that role, and, you know, if you've seen the movie, you know how it turns out. So I think this is going to be a fantastic, fun, meaty role for him that he's going to be able to, like, really dive into.
Do you think it would be a role that he would stay with for more than one film, potentially? Because what we've seen with a lot of the Batman movies is a lot of villains haven't sort of transferred between movie to movie, but we've always seen consistent Batman.
Yes.
And Colin Farrell has dipped his toe in franchises, but as you say, he's done like one installment. You know, something may have got a sequel, but it didn't happen for whatever reason, or he was replaced in a role. Do you think if he played the Penguin, it could be that franchise that he's looking at to potentially see the Penguin in more than one movie or carried on in some other way?
I feel honestly with Colin and with Batman, I would like to see the Penguin move on from, like, one to the next to the next. I think it's like you said, it's been a while since we've had that kind of a consistency.
Yeah.
But I think first and foremost, we really have to make sure we build a good Batman movie around all this. So we'll kind of see what direction they take with the Robert Pattinson Batman and see if there's an opportunity for these villains to kind of move forward. Because that's what I really like about Batman. It's these consistency and these, like, villains that we know, like Scarecrow, Two-Face, Penguin, Joker, Riddler, Catwoman. So it's like I would love to see all of that together.
Together.
Yeah, and moving forward and just kind of, even if he's in, just pokes his head in for the next film and the one after that. He doesn't have to be like kind of in, you know, one of the main players, but just a mention and a little scene or two would be a nice touch.
Yeah, because we're seeing, obviously, with the original Batman TV show, and this is obviously going to be completely different from that, there are a handful of villains who we would repeatedly see every now and again, you know, Joker, Batman, Catwoman, who would come up. And people like that because they like to see the two face off together. And we often see that in serialized things, on TV series, where where we see villains or characters coming back, you know, season after season, or even missing a season then coming back again. But we don't tend to see that with a lot of superhero movies outside of some of the Marvel movies, mm-hmm. where we do see that crossover where people appear in more than one film. Obviously, we don't know if the Batman movie is going to be a standalone Batman movie, right. like we had with Joker. So we don't know whether that's being, you know, sort of looked at as a franchise. I'm kind of imagining that Warner would look at it yeah. as a franchise. And I think perhaps as well, potentially, depends on how well people, you know, like yes. Colin Farrell as, yeah. as the Penguin. I mean, if you've got a good villain, and at the end of the day he doesn't die, then why not bring him back? This Do you know is, what I mean?
Mean this
there's
is
no
true.
Good reason.
Yeah. I mean, look, if a villain's dead, like, let's keep them dead, in my opinion. I guess it depends on the villain. Like, I feel yeah. like the Joker could never actually, like, die.
Sure.
Maybe the same with Scarecrow, but... Yeah, I feel like if it's a very concise, like, he is dead, here's the corpse, let's just move on from that, and we can maybe do him in a flashback.
Mm. Now, obviously, when we were talking earlier about, you know, people being a bit surprised about Colin Farrell being linked to this role, do you think that was down to size? Because a lot of people see, obviously, Danny DeVito is a definitive Penguin. We mm-hmm. saw the original Penguin.
I loved it.
Just an incredible yeah. performance, incredible. But we seem to be kind of stuck in this, he's got to be a slightly fat guy, obviously, that kind of
right.
was, you know, slightly...
Well, the cartoon
in the
and everything too. Yes,
cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin Farrell is kind of that's not what we envisage, and obviously he's quite a tall guy as well. So this is a very different kind of take on that character.
Yeah.
I spoke to Rainn Wilson recently because Galaxy Quest is coming up 20th anniversary. There's just a new Blu-ray that's come out. I'll get to sort of you know the chat that I had with him recently in a bit later. But he said he would like to play the Penguin. He really wanted to,
Ooh.
But he thought he'd be ruled out because of the fact that he's tall.
Look. If Hugh Jackman can play Wolverine and yeah. be very successful and have had, I don't know how many years he's been that, and Wolverine's supposed to be, what, like 5'3"?
Yeah.
Or something, then I think size can maybe not matter as much.
Okay.
But I think as actors, you think about that stereotype and yeah. you think about what was already portrayed, and we take Danny DeVito as an example, and you think, okay, well, that's kind of the formula that they want. So you don't know how casting and how creative is really going to go with that. So as an actor, you kind of think, I would love to. I think I'm too tall.
Yeah.
You know, and now we know that obviously really wasn't much of a factor if they're looking at Colin.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really interesting because we are playing around more with the perceptions or previous versions of characters. And sometimes people do get upset. Obviously, Jack Reacher, Tom Cruise is nothing like Jack Reacher in the book. James Bond has been blonde-haired, dark-haired.
Right.
He's been Scottish. He's been English. He's been, you know, so many different things.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, there is an element of when you are, especially when you have the opportunity to completely recreate this lore in this way, it does give you the opportunity to play around with more of these things. Maybe Rainn Wilson should have spoken up earlier and not after it had been cast, but there you go.
But there's plenty of villains that he could play in the Batman universe.
I would love to see him play someone like
Mr.
Freeze.
He could do a Simu Liu and just put it out there.
Yeah.
Put it out there.
No, absolutely. Well, I mean, if they want to check out the interview on Forbes, they're more than welcome to.
Hey.
Other people in the chat, we're going to get to Andy Serkis in just a second, who's not in the chat. He's in Batman.
Mm.
Yash, hey guys, Zeno out. Wendy!
Hey.
All in caps. So very excited to see you.
Hello.
It was either a cry for help or glad to see you. Yash, best movie show on the internet. Thank you. Do appreciate it. Zeno saying hi, Simon. Blair Witch Project. Good morning. Good morning to you, Blair Witch Project. Wendy is not zany, but she is afraid of clowns, which is
yes.
good. Are you afraid of clowns?
Oh, my terrified. No. Why are you looking at me like that?
I didn't know that.
Okay.
I mean, it's not
I thought
we
you were like,
that.
You were scheming almost.
No, no,
I was
no.
like,
I'm just like, how? I mean, obviously, it would not come up in regular conversation, but I didn't know that.
So for Halloween, Collider took the Collider Live team to Halloween Universal Studios.
Yeah, Killer Clowns.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
how did that go for you?
Well, Christian Harloff didn't know. I don't know how he didn't know that I was, like, afraid of clowns. But
you need to tell people if you're afraid of this stuff.
I just thought that they knew. I thought I made it very public.
Okay.
But, like, sitting through it was very difficult for me.
Oh.
But I love the book and the movie so much that I was like, I have to, like, endure through this. It wasn't quite as bad. But going through a maze full of killer clowns and they're all coming at you and there's, like, mirrors, so there's multiple I could not handle that. I, like, busted into tears afterwards.
Oh, my God. McDonald's in the 80s must have been a fucking nightmare for you. and yes, saying, I love every character actor they've hired. I think this movie is ultimately going to be a whodunit in the guise of a Batman movie, since whodunit seem to be a trend. Knives Out, which I saw this week, is very much the case, and they are welcome
so
to come back. Yes, saying, that's why there are so many villains. The Blair Witch Project. Colin is great. He has transformed himself into an excellent, versatile character actor. Yes, he has. And I really give him kudos for that, because it cannot be easy. There are very few people who get to, and men and women, who get to act outside of the genres they're best well known for. Matthew McConaughey did it by having a break, because he was the hunky rom-com guy, so was Gerard Butler. Yep. Then he went sort of more action. Jamie Foxx was kind of seen the same thing as being that sort of wisecracking kind of damn kind of guy. And then he transitioned to do thanks to Ray and stuff like that. Yeah. He seemed very, Will Smith has done it. But also, there are so many women who've done Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Aniston has kind of stayed in the romantic comedy thing, and a lot of her drama stuff hasn't really hit as well. But there are many people that have. Charlize Theron, another
Jennifer
person.
Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez, who was seen very much as kind of one thing. So it's very great. I'm always very happy to see that. Xeno Hour, over under 60%. Chance that Corin Farrell will be under prosthetic makeup for Penguin. I would say
probably a little bit, right?
Yeah, I'm imagining there will be prosthetics, even if it's there's obviously going to be facial, and I'm assuming some body. But I would say I don't think they're going to go to town on it, because I think if they wanted to, they would have hired someone who was slightly more short and rotund.
Yeah, I was thinking more of like in the Tim Burton one where they with the hands and and the long nose. I don't know how they're gonna do it that way. I'm so curious how they're gonna do this, because they can either take it in that direction, or they can go more quote-unquote realistic and just not do any prosthetic at all.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we saw with, you know, shows like Gotham, where we saw Penguin in that, very much, you know, not that much change, you know, it's left more to the imagination. Saying that only if Ben Affleck stays as Batman with Colin Farrell as Penguin, a small Daredevil reunion. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. We're not going to see Ben slipping into that suit again anytime soon, but he's never going to leave that role behind, for better or for worse. Colin Farrell was the True Detective season 2 saving grace. Yeah, absolutely. He's really come into his own in the last couple of years. Someone else who is really, I think, perfect for this role, and I think someone I've enjoyed in other franchises as a probably best known for mocap stuff. So we often see him on screen, we don't see him on screen. Andy Serkis to play Alfred. Obviously taking on from a long line of excellent actors who've played that character. An amazing choice.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Andy personally, and I've known him for a number of years. He's richly diverse, but your take on Andy?
I mean, this is a very welcoming choice, and I think I really enjoy watching Andy's career kind of like transition and grow into this huge thing, because he was, like you said, known for the mocap, and you know, it was Lord of the Rings as Gollum, then it was Caesar, and I was hoping that he'd be able to break out of that, because he's so fantastic. I think a lot of people had a misconception of mocap being like, okay, you're not acting, right? Like, you're just like there for the mocap, and if you see what he does behind the scene, there's so much emotion, even more, because you have to really make sure that the people that are kind of working on your mocap and transitioning that to that character, it really has a lot to work with. So kind of seeing him being able to break out of like a mocap role is really fantastic, and Alfred is iconic, and I think so is Andy Serkis, so I think this is the perfect formula.
It's actually funny, because one of Andy's first films in a small supporting role was actually opposite Michael Caine. They worked together a number of years ago. A buddy of mine was in that same movie.
Like The
with
Matrix.
Them. Yeah, and it's like they kind of, it all comes together.
Yeah.
But I mean, when Andy got to be Andy in the Marvel movies, obviously we saw him in Black Panther, and there were other movies as well. You know, he has such a presence. I mean, Andy is someone who understands the craft of acting and the craft of filmmaking.
Yes.
And even though the two movies that he's made, Mowgli and the movie before that he made that unfortunately nobody saw, I think it was called Breathe. He understands filmmaking process, and he's worked under the likes of Peter Jackson, where Peter would let him go and do second, I say let him, it wasn't like go on, off you go, second unit stuff, you know, on some of the movies.
Big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's in at the deep end, and he's very theatrical. He's done a number of years in theatre, and he really understands the art and the craft, you know, the whole thing. It's really circular for him. And I think he will do, this is the kind of role that he hasn't done. It's very reserved. It's very strong as a character. A lot of his other stuff has been very sort of, you know, flamboyant and, you know, out there. And this, I think, is actually going to be really nice to see him in that restrained manner.
Yeah.
I mean, some of this casting for this movie, when you hear the casting, you honestly can't think of anybody better for those roles.
Yes.
So I think the casting crew for this
have done a phenomenal job. Makes me really excited for this Batman.
I'm really excited about it. I mean, in a way that with Joker, when that was cast, which is a movie that at the time I really didn't think we needed, some of the casting I thought was quite eclectic, and I wasn't quite sure. I mean, I'm a kind of Marmite on, which is a UK thing, on Joaquin Phoenix. Sometimes I really like him, and sometimes I cannot watch him. Mm-hmm. He makes me feel so uncomfortable and awkward, and I just don't like what he's doing. But this, I think, is going to be such an absolute joy. It's going to be up there for me, you know, putting it out already, with Tim Burton's Batman Returns.
Wow.
I genuinely think it's going to be, which is still my favorite Batman movie.
I really hope so. I think I'm also kind of tired of, like, the always switching of, like, well, now it's this person for Batman, now it's this person for Batman, yeah. And I just want to sit down and watch a Batman movie, although, you know, you kind of have to go through that process to find the right actor and the right project for them to be on, so maybe the wait's going to be worth it, and I'm looking forward to, like, Robert Pattinson's
Batman. And with the director as well. I mean, you know, the helm is, you know, someone else with great character stuff who has worked with Andy in the past on the Apes movies, of course. So they have a great chemistry and work together very well. A couple more chat room comments on this. Andy Serkis has such fabulous range of emotion, absolutely, even when it's not him physically there. Zeno, I love Jeremy Irons as Alfred, so did I, but I think Andy Serkis will do great, and Blair Witch Project saying he brought a lot to the role of Snoke. Yeah, I mean, again, roles that are, you know, not necessarily essential roles, he's always added that gravitas, so that's great. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. I'd like you to take the lead on this, Wendy. The story this week, the future of Star Wars movies. I saw this one on Slash Film this week. Disney CEO Bob Iger saying less is more. Tell us a bit more about that story.
Less is more. So it's sounding like and here's a quote directly, I'm just looking at the article here, and he said, I've said publicly that I think we've made and released too many Star Wars movies over a short period of time. I have not said that they were disappointing in any way. I have not said that I am disappointed in their performance. I just think that there is something so special about a Star Wars film, and less is more. So right now we are getting about a Star Wars film every 2 years.
Yeah.
And before all of this, before kind of like the resurgence of Star Wars, before The Force Awakens, it was just those classics, and then we had the prequel, and it had been a long, long, long time. And I think I don't completely disagree with him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I love Star Wars. I am at Galaxy's Edge all the time. Yeah. I'm watching those movies all the time. I have way too much Star Wars toys and merch for my own liking in my bank account. But
and your husband's a big fan as well.
Huge.
Is he not?
Okay, we own lightsabers and we have costumes for Halloween. We don't even go trick or treat. We just like dress up
and it's kind of
like
stay at home.
Yeah, and like pass out the candy. So I feel that right now, because we are getting not only like the remaining of the Skywalker saga, we are also getting these like we got a Solo, and what was another one? Rogue One, which I absolutely loved.
I love that too.
I think his worry is a lot of people, you know, when we were looking at Marvel movies, a lot of people were saying superhero fatigue. Mm. And I think maybe he's a little kind of cautious of quote-unquote Star Wars fatigue. Like, I would never be tired of Star Wars, honestly. I don't feel like I can get too much content. I'm always going to be excited about Star Wars. But I can see from, like, a business end, kind of, you want it to be fresh and exciting.
Yeah.
And so you're doing two every year, and there's not that period of time for the fans to kind of like wait and get re-excited about things again. And he's just worried that the hype would, you know, slowly go away a little bit. Especially now we are getting also Disney streaming.
Yeah.
We have The Mandalorian.
Which is next week.
We've got Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, but like, can there really be too much Star Wars content?
Well, I mean, I as much as I've grown up with Star Wars and I love Star Wars, but obviously not as much as you in a slightly different way. I like to miss things. I miss the hunger, and we appear to be in a constant news cycle.
Yes.
Up to a movie, after a movie, the think pieces, ready for the next movie. There's never really any...
A lull.
There's never a lull, there's never an absence. And I think sometimes, you know, even if it was 3 years, I think we could have a fallow year. There'd be the rise and fall, you know, the before and the after, and then a fallow year. Mm-hmm. And then there was the rise and the anticipation, but we don't have anything fallow.
Right.
And I think, for me, we kind of miss that. And, you know, I just think that, especially when it's Disney that is behind Star Wars now, if you look at Disney and their dominance of the box office, with some great content, I'll give them that, they have live action movies, they have the Marvel movies, they have the Star Wars movies, they also have Disney Plus ads from next week, which is going to be covered with content.
Yeah.
There is an element, the way you have to look at yourself, and having been in broadcast for a number of years, where you don't cannibalize your own audience, and you don't kind of shift your audience away from where you really want them to be, which is asses in seats in a movie theater.
We
are seeing, whether it's Star Wars or not, we are seeing an increasing trend for people making active decisions about what they are going to pay and see.
Mm-hmm.
And because windows especially are a lot shorter than they used to be.
Yeah.
What they are going to pay to see in the movie theater, and having paid to see Doctor Sleep last night, almost $20 for a movie ticket. And you want
to
take... it was the Pacific at the Grove.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was like $17.75 plus a $150 convenience fee. And it's like, I mean, that's $20. And if you're taking a family, you are going to make active decisions about what you're going to see. And some will wait for like a $3 movie theater, or they're going to wait for it to come on Netflix because it's cheaper. Or some people will pirate it because these things are available.
That's a
no-no. Illegal. Do not do it. But a lot of people do. I know a lot of people who do, even people in the industry. And it pisses me off. Pisses me off no end. But
we're just too goody two shoes.
Well,
what are we doing it wrong?
I just have
are
a real thing
paying for movies?
For people taking the piss. There's no reason for it. It's
no,
like,
there's
don't
no reason
bite
for piracy.
The fucking hand that feeds.
Yeah, no.
But that's a whole other thing. But yeah, I just think that there isn't an absence. And I think sometimes you need that. And I wouldn't, if after this movie we didn't have another Star Wars movie for 5 years.
Yeah.
I think that would be fine. But even looking at the next Star Wars movie coming up, 9, Rise of Skywalker, there doesn't appear to be, bearing in mind we are weeks away from this movie hitting movie theatres, there doesn't appear to be quite the buzz and the anticipation that we have seen around even Last Jedi last time round. I know a number of people were burnt with that, and you know, the like and the not likes are, you know, constantly
very
at
divided,
war. You know, it's like the North and the South back in history. It's like the fucking Civil War. It's but you know, there just doesn't appear to be that buzz. But because there's no breath.
There's no break.
There's no break. There's no breath. There's no
So we're
pause,
not, like you
no
said,
coda.
We're not hungry for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that really, you know, is obviously person to person.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit of that security blanket of like, yeah, okay, well, we're going to get the next one in like a year and a half. Or we're going to, and then there's going to be another kind of like standalone movie in between it. So, so our needs are kind of satisfied. So we're kind of now kind of relying on it, and it's maybe becoming a little like a habitual thing.
It's there's an element of complacency.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's always in the background, like Muzak.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something. You can go to somewhere and get a Star Wars movie. And I do kind of, I know it's because I'm a little bit older, but it's, I just think it's kind of like, I do miss those days.
So in your opinion, then how much time would you want between a Star Wars film?
I would say 3 years.
Okay.
3 years would
That's
be fine.
That's not terrible either.
It's not too long to wait, but two years in film is really not a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, a lot of people say, oh, time is traveling faster. I mean, it's traveling at the same speed, but it just does, years tend to disappear.
Yes.
And also, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if you feel this way, I mean, probably not so much because you're a massive fan, but there is a bit of editorial burn where I'm sick and tired
of seeing
constant takes on Star Wars. And this goes for other franchises as well.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, fuck.
You mean kind of like fan takes and
Well,
and
fan takes
like
and
that.
Industry takes and, oh, you'll never guess what happened when the blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I just, it never goes away.
Yeah.
And I think there's an element of that complacency. And I think if things don't go away, people can't miss them. And I think 3 years is about the right thing to do it. And we've seen it with movies like Toy Story 4 this year. It's been a number of years. Toy Story 4 was released 3 years after, 2 to 3 years after it was originally meant to be released.
Yeah.
And you know what? When Toy Story 4 came along, people were excited for it and they turned out for it.
Yeah. So they did too for Incredibles.
Yeah.
And that was like 10, 12 years.
Yeah. So I think you need to, and especially when you're a studio that has so much content out there already, I think that you, which is going after fundamentally the same dime.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to rest it a bit.
I think, well, one for production, I think maybe the way they did do it, maybe it's for production because they have the cast, they have the location, and maybe they try to film everything all at once. And then they get into like the editorial phase and they're like, well, let's just keep on the schedule.
Yeah.
Which I think for production and business is really, really smart. But I see what you're saying about wanting a break and wanting to kind of feel that hunger and crave and kind of rebuild your excitement. Like, oh, it's been so long since I've seen Star Wars on screen. I can't wait to stand in line and see everybody turn out for this in costumes and lightsabers and things like that.
But I mean, I certainly know from sort of working in TV editorial that even that kind of stuff is now, it doesn't grab the headlines like it used to, you know? The industry has changed and the world has changed, and this doesn't appear to change with it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think there'll always be an audience for Star Wars.
Of course.
There'll always be an audience because it's one of the greatest franchises, one of the greatest IPs that has ever been created in the history of cinema.
Yeah.
So Star Wars is not going anywhere anytime soon. Let's have a look at what people are saying in the chat. Bob Iger looks like Frank Sinatra. sure, I don't know if that's slightly racist or white people look the same. I'm kidding. No, but I, do you know what? Actually, Westy Kid, you are not entirely wrong in that. The Blair Witch Project, this sounds like Lucasfilm is in a recalibration phase. Blair Witch Project, Galaxy's Edge is awesome. And we talked about Galaxy's Edge before we came on air today.
Yeah.
And the fact that audience attendance for that has been lower than anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have been put off by the fact that everybody's told, oh my God, everybody in the world's going to be at Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
And some people are like, there's not enough there. Mm-hmm. And we discussed about some other reasons. And you had another theory on why that hasn't particularly landed as well.
Yeah, well, one, I agree with there's not enough yet. We have one ride. We have one cantina. We have various food locations. So maybe when the Rise of the Resistance opens, that can change a little bit. But I feel like there needs to be more to do essentially for people to go. But another one is, for me, in my opinion, Galaxy's Edge right now, it's set in episode 7, 8, 9 and forward.
Yeah.
And even though we have the Millennium Falcon there, even though Rey's walking around, we're never going to really see that classic original saga, any of the character. I don't see them ever putting Leia on the park, whether it's princess form or general form. There, we can't have a Han Solo. It won't work. Luke definitely won't work. Though I did see Captain Phasma the other day.
Interesting.
In the park. And I went, she looked fantastic.
Yeah.
I got a picture, but I thought that was interesting.
But
I think because right now the time is set in the newer iterations, and I think some of the fans really crave that classic stuff. Like, we want to see a Jabba, we want to see a Boba Fett, we want all of these things, and I don't think Galaxy's Edge right now is built.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're gonna go backwards in that. And I think some of the fans would prefer to see that.
And it's also, but it's weird, if you are in a fixed timeline where, you know, if you have those super fans who, they both want to see some of that stuff, and then you have people who go like, well, how can Jabba be here? Because in this timeline where this is set, Jabba wasn't here.
Correct.
And then you've got Leia, and Leia wasn't here. And then you've got this, okay, so I'm going to follow this timeline, but Rey wasn't in this one.
Mm-hmm.
It then becomes a little bit, it kind of spoils the whole idea behind
Galaxy's Edge. Right, and that's, so I understand why they're mapping it out, but I can see maybe that's one of the few people, one of the reasons why few people are like not wanting to go, because kind of like, well, it's like maybe they don't like the newer Star Wars, so they were like, why invest their money? It's not cheap to go to Disneyland. Like,
it is,
you have
not
to pay
cheap
for parking, you have to pay for a day ticket.
Yeah.
The cantina is 2 drinks minimum.
Wow, and I didn't realize that.
Or they may have changed it, but the last time I went, which was like, when I went to the cantina, I was literally just at Galaxy's Edge like 2 weeks ago. But when I went to the cantina the last time, it was like 2 drink minimum.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, never come in here again.
That's
really
crazy.
Spent over $100.
Everybody getting lit. That's insane. Wow, I didn't realize that. I didn't actually get to go in there because the queue was insane. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not.
That's another thing. You're spending a lot of time. They don't have chicken nuggets.
Do they not? Well, then I'm definitely not queuing up. You know what I mean? It's like space
kitchens. No, I get it. No, they have like space food.
Yeah.
For $8.
Yeah.
The Batuu bits.
Batuu bits.
That's what they're called. I didn't love it.
That's also my drag name. yeah, so people saying, Xeno, I hope Andy Serkis' Alfred is like a Batman Earth 1 version. That version leans more into Alfred's military background and is badass. A lot of people still talking about Andy Serkis in there. Instead of Star Wars for the one gamillionth time, says Yash, maybe 3 to 4 years would be good. Can we talk about Knives Out? We're going to talk about Knives Out again. I saw it this week.
Is embargo lifted?
It was at TIFF. It was at TIFF. I mean, all the reviews and stuff are out. Maybe we'll get to talk about that at the end. Xeno, I was saying, I think we all need a break from Star Wars movies, to be honest, especially the fandom. Yash, we need as fans and industry people to change the discussion. Yeah, I think we do, to be honest with you. But, you know, certainly from an editorial point of view, while this stuff still gets clicks, people are still going to write about it.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as we can complain about it, you know, while people keep clicking on this shit,
So
people are going to keep writing
it. Equals traffic.
Clicks equals traffic. Yeah. Quality does not necessarily equal quantity. Yash, I blame Twitter. I blame Twitter for pretty much everything, Yash, including many of my own mistakes. Eon 001, A Mandalorian, Obi-Wan, Star Wars games like Fallen Order. I have my Star Wars fix. Yeah, I mean,
Fallen Order.
Yeah, I 3 years would be great. Mm-hmm. I'd be fine with that. And then especially and a TV now series in the middle. Lovely.
Exactly right, because now we're getting Mandalorian, and not only that, we're having Obi-Wan. Granted, I think it's only a 6-episode show, but we're also the Clone Wars coming back.
Yeah,
so there's definitely more than enough Star Wars content for your, you know, needs.
Yeah, so I agree. Let's move on from this. Invisible Man trailer dropped this week. The new movie from Lee Whannell. It's the start of this Dark Universe, not Dark Universe, Universal Monsters being reimagined after a number of false starts. Elizabeth Moss is hunted by something unseen in this trailer. We'll talk about the trailer in a second, but Lee Whannell, a lot of people were tweeting him over the last couple of days and saying, there's too much in the trailer, and there's a lot in the trailer.
Mm.
There's too much in the trailer. And he's reassuring people that not everything you see in the trailer is everything you need. It's just a thing. And there is an endemic problem in the industry right now where so much is put in the trailer where you can fundamentally either see most of the movie or guess it. Miles 12 is one that springs to mind. Last Christmas is one that springs to mind.
Yep.
There have been several even in the last sort of 12 to 18 months. First of all, your thoughts on there being too much in the trailer?
I don't feel like there was too much.
Yeah.
I feel like they gave us kind of what the gist is going to be. And I can see how people can feel that maybe like the end of the movie was played out. Mm. I don't feel like that's it.
I don't think so either.
Because Invisible Man he's such like a mastermind.
Yeah.
You know, and they kind of hinted at that in the trailer. So I feel like what I think everything was shown on purpose. I think this is a movie that's going to kind of keep you guessing.
Mm.
In vain of Gone Girl. Almost.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think also to a certain extent with movies like Us, because when you saw Us, certainly I thought I was going to see one movie.
Oh my God, yes.
And then we watched the movie, I was like, what, the trailer's only like the first 20 minutes of the movie. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And that was a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Us. I thought it was good. But yeah, I mean, I'm certainly really, really intrigued by this. And I really like what Lee has done, who I believe wrote it as well as directed it.
And produced it.
And produced it. Oh, fuck, I wish he'd do some work.
Does everything.
So fucking lazy. Lee Whannell. God.
What a slacker. Did
he write the theme tune as well? I'm not quite sure. Do, 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 the Invisible Man. I'm really intrigued to see what he's done with the Invisible Man, because from this, I cannot tell whether he is the good guy or the bad guy in this setup.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, he's... In my opinion, I think he's playing him out to be bad.
I think he is, but I'm not entirely sure that we've seen all of Elizabeth Moss's character.
Correct.
So I'm very intrigued to see what that relationship is going to turn out to be. My expectation is that he's going to be the villain.
Yeah.
But it would be very interested to see. And I'm certainly, there are a number of movies this year that I've seen trailers for, and it's kind of left me like, okay, I'm interested, or, you know, yeah, okay, or I'm definitely in. This is definitely in the I am definitely in camp.
Yeah.
This is a movie I'm genuinely looking forward to. I'm a big fan of the original Universal Monsters, and I think many attempts over the last couple of years to try and, you know, reinvent them, whether it's Dracula Untold or whether it's the terrible movie The Mummy. And I love Tom Cruise, but that was an awful movie and everybody involved pretty much knows that. This to me is really like what they should have done 2 years ago.
But I think the timing it's probably the right timing for it.
Okay.
I feel like if you put it out then, I don't know, it may not have had such a positive reaction because of Dracula Untold. Not very popular. The Mummy, not very popular. And you have this one. All of a sudden, you're like, whoa, this could be it. This could be the one that turns the universe around or could kind of reignite the universe. And when I watched this trailer for Invisible Man, I got the same feel of excitement when I watched Upgrade, which is also by Lee Whannell.
Yes.
And
great
movie.
If you haven't seen it, by the way, check it out.
Yeah, I really, really... I'm intrigued on the angle that he's taking for this one. It's a little bit more modern. I love Elizabeth Moss in anything and everything that she does. I'm such a huge fan
of Handmaid's Tale. She's also a really funny person.
Is
Have you interviewed her?
No.
She is so sharp. Genuinely, a lot of people don't think of her in that way. Mm. They see her as kind of this slightly buttoned down,
maybe
quite
serious.
Intense, very serious. Uh-huh. She's got a wicked sense of humor.
Yeah.
Seriously, she doesn't get to show it very often, and I'd love to see her getting
maybe
showed
her in
more.
A comedy would be.
I'd love to see
eventually.
That.
Eventually. You
love
know,
to see
I
it.
Think the sky's the limit for her, but I think this one, just imagine like really testing your acting skills, because for her role on Handmaid's Tale, there's a lot of internal monologue that she kind of plays through her head. There's a lot of voiceover, and all of it is in her face, you know, just like that beauty shot of her eyes. And she tells a story with her just the slightest little like tweaks with her facial expression.
Her smell is a great example of that. She does that a number of times in that movie.
She's a master at it, like so good at it. And in this one, it's not just like close-up beauty shots. She's acting with herself, essentially. That's tough. So I am so excited for this. I really want to see if there's a little bit more to what we saw in the trailer. Honestly, I am so satisfied with this first trailer.
Yeah.
I don't need to see any more until February when this movie comes
out. I'm not watching any more trailers. I'm not watching any more clips.
I don't want to know anymore.
I don't want to know anymore. That's fine. People in the chat talking about this. Invisible Man trailer. Awesome. BlackRock316. Welcome to the chat, BlackRock. Cameron Egan. Mandalorian. We're going to move on from that. Yash. Wow. Lee Whannell disappointed me really hard. Upgrade was a favorite of mine from last year. I hate this Me Too Invisible Man. We don't know that it's going to be a Me Too Invisible Man, but also there is a problem with sexual abuse. And so, you know, we do need to call that out where that's situated, you know, whether it's sexual or physical. Cameron Egan, the Invisible Man trailer looks incredibly frightening and I can't wait to see it. I agree. I genuinely think it's going to be like a real pants shitter. Eon001 can't wait for this. That might get used on the poster. Wait and see. Maybe not. Can't wait for this. I hope they don't force a shared universe. I don't think they're going to have to force it, to be honest with you, but let's see. I mean, I would be happy if they were individual within
if this
universe.
Yeah, I at this point, you know? I would totally be okay with that.
Xenoara, I really dig this trailer. Yash saying Elizabeth Moss looks very well cast. Absolutely brilliantly cast, I'd actually go so far as to say. This is more Hollow Man and less Invisible Man. Hollow Man gets a lot of shit, actually, like that. But going back to your point about this being the right time, we're going to move on from this in a second, but I want to ask you one more thing on this. Mm-hmm. When you talk about this being the right time for it, do you think that is because audiences' tastes have slightly, let's say, matured, and they're now ready for this? This is an era of storytelling and character again. Or do you think it's the fact that because other movies have kind of led in this area, studios have now got the balls to actually make this kind of movie, and they're going, okay, this can work, which is kind of linked to the first point. Do you think it's more one than the other?
I think it's the latter.
Okay.
In my opinion. And, I mean, look, I can kind of honestly, I can argue both points.
Right.
To be totally honest with you. I think the studios with, you know, things evolve so fast now. Our attention span is very, very short, very, very quick. And because we're overstimulated all the time. There's cell phones, there's tablets, there's streaming, there's like 50 million things coming at you. And everything is evolving so quickly. And Twitter is very loud on certain topics. And I feel like, you know, as certain movies have set precedents to be like, it is okay to step in this direction.
Yeah.
Let's just do it and see what happens. Because also at the same time, people love or hate on things, and then people move on from things very quickly.
Yeah.
So I think there's also that kind of a culture slowly building. But I don't see this movie being I just can't see this movie being bad. And it's not one of those like, okay, well, it didn't perform, so we're just going to forget about it.
Yeah. But, I mean, I had the conversation with some studio executives just the other day at an awards event about the fact that, you know, blink and you miss it with some movies. Because, you know, by the next Friday, it's like your movie didn't exist. There are four new ones.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a struggle.
Yeah.
A couple of other things I want to touch on before we get to box office and reviews. We've got 20 minutes left on the show. Terminator Dark Fate at the box office. Not a great opening for that movie.
Did you like it?
I thought it was very mediocre, if I'm really honest with you.
All right.
Had a number of issues with it. Yes, everyone's saying it's the best one since the second one. It is.
Well, yeah, because if you look at
the other ones have been terrible. So it's like by default rather than actually being a really good movie. And it had nothing to do with it being predominantly female-led. I mean, I have no preference either way on that. It literally doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think the writing was particularly good. I didn't think the story was particularly good.
Okay.
I didn't, you know, the set pieces were impressive, but they just didn't grip me. And I think some of the effects, to be honest with you, were a little bit mediocre.
Oh, okay.
You know, even right at the beginning where the Terminators are coming out of the sea, and I'm like, that just didn't look great. For me, it just didn't.
It was just okay.
Yeah, it was okay, and yeah. I just don't know why they don't stop. Your thoughts on Terminator?
Quickly. I mean, I had a lot of fun in it. I will agree that it is the best since T2. But again, I didn't love Genesis. Was all right for me. I can see why people didn't like it. It was an all right film for me. Like, but I haven't liked it. It's not a rewatch movie for me. I didn't see. There was one movie between where the one where Christian Bale yelled at.
Oh yeah,
which one was that one?
Salvation.
So I saw that one. I didn't see the one after that.
Yeah.
So I'm because I just didn't feel I was kind of like a little tired of it, to be honest with you. It was always kind of like going back at the same time. So, but this one I watched it because I wanted to see Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor again.
Yeah.
That was the main pull for me to go and see this, and I loved the cast. I can see why certain people were turned off by what was shown in the beginning.
Yeah.
Of the specific timeline that they tackled. I don't 100% love the motivation for Arnold in this.
Yeah,
I was like, it just felt really weird, but I loved seeing him battling, you know, T-1000. So
it was nice to see both him and Linda back, but ultimately the film overall.
A very fun film. It was a fun action flick for me, and I really had fun with it. But I can totally see why people are like.
But when again, like buying a ticket for Dr. Sleep last night, if someone was saying, "Is that worth best part of $20?" Or should I wait? I genuinely am like, you know, and this is the way whenever I get to review something, I always look at it. If I was paying $20 for this.
You have to because that's how much people are paying.
Yeah, that's because how much people are really paying. It's not like I got to see some
going
free
to the
shit.
Expensive.
Or I want to kiss a studio's ass. It's like, is it worth $20?
Yeah.
And for me, I'm just like, I don't. You know, as great as it is to see it on the big screen, it just wasn't worth $20.
Okay.
So could this spell Judgment Day for the franchise is the big question here.
Like the end. This was supposed to be the last one.
I thought it was. And then there was talk
like
of it starting a new
they
trilogy.
Keep coming back. They just keep coming back. You just take it away. I feel like for me, it was pretty clear and concise. And I feel like it's done. Although in Hollywood, nothing is ever finite.
Yeah.
They will probably bring it back in 10 years or less and just be like, here's a new John Connor.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible, but if you're going to do one, like, then wait a really long time.
Like, maybe till we're all dead. and nobody remembers the other films. new Scream movie gearing up to reference more scary movies. Ghostface is going to return. Scream 4 for me, though. Was a great end to that movie that I often say, don't leave it as a trilogy or do a 5 or a 6, but never do a 4. But 4 actually worked well for me. Is it right? You know, I mean, it's happening. So it's not like, oh, should they do it? Oh, well, Simon says it's not okay, so we should stop. But, I mean, I don't.
Are you iffy about.
Nobody watched the Scream TV show.
Right.
And I just don't know, especially bringing Ghostface back again.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I'm not sure
Does
how
it
I feel about
feels
this.
Feels a little redundant.
Yeah, they're
going to
have to do something like Lee has done, going back to Invisible Man, for it really to be something new and unique. Otherwise, it is just the same stuff that we love.
Yeah,
but it's the same stuff, nevertheless.
Yeah.
So, your thoughts on this?
I mean, Perry's not going to be very happy with me about this because she loves Scream. That's like her favorite movie. She's like the Collider, you know, horror movie fan. Her and Haley both, but I am really not that excited for the new Scream. Like, I'm excited for the fans that are gonna get to see this, but this is for me. I'm kind of like, if I catch it, great. If I catch it when it comes out on a streaming service, then fine too. I just kind of like in what you said is they're bringing Ghostface back, and it's kind of like, what. How different can it be?
Yeah.
If you can show me in a trailer that it'll be like pretty different. Okay, then I'm for it. I always love new content. I love going to the movies. But if it's going to be kind of like the same, you know, with just the same car, new rapper, then like I don't really need it.
Yeah, because if it's another one, I mean, thinking one way to really mix it up would be setting it somewhere else. So setting it in a different country.
Oh, yeah.
I think might be interesting. I think maybe taking it to Asia would be really interesting. They could do something really cool with that. That'd be different. Cultural references. Because obviously the original Scream movies, the first four movies, were really much about American movies.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you do that thing, it's like, oh, okay, how many times can you do it?
Right.
Yeah, you can reference new movies like Us and Get Out and all these other things, but you're still fundamentally, it's the same thing, same car, new wrapping. But I think if you set it somewhere different, like maybe Europe or Asia or something like that.
That would be interesting.
Would be really interesting because you can then use a lot of sort of Japanese, Korean, different kinds of cultural references. Like we obviously brought Grudge over here and Ring, and then maybe do the same thing and flip it like that. That could be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I just don't know if it's more of the same. I mean, the other movies are great. I don't know what they're going to add to it, but I'd be very interested, certainly open to hearing the idea. But I mean, why not do a different thing?
Yeah.
And I think it was William Bibbiani on Twitter this week. He's mentioned this before, so I cannot take credit for this. He was saying, why not necessarily do it from the Scream thing, but do it from the movie that was in Scream? Set it in that. So make it a bit meta and set it in that movie's...
That's interesting.
Stab, the Stab movies.
I don't hate that
at
all.
Set it in the Stab movies world.
Yeah. Ah... Like a little multiverse.
Make it a little multiverse.
Yeah.
Make it a bit, you know. So two. I mean, there are just two ideas there.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, they really need to do something different.
So just something a little bit different. Like having Ghostface back is great for for everybody who's really into that. But I want something a little bit different.
What's up, Ghostface? Do you remember that from the Scary Movie?
How can you forget?
What's up?
What's up? All the commercials had that.
Oh, I know. whenever I do that, like, oh. Good times. Westy Kid, love the Scream franchise. The TV show didn't work because it didn't have Sydney, Gale Weathers, and Dewey. But I want something different. Yash Perry is a product of the 90s. That's fine. Millions of people were. How about instead of rebooting Scream, they may come up with something new? I absolutely agree. I'm a child of the 80s, 70s and 80s. But you know what? I mean, there's many stuff that I would love to see sort of remade. But some things don't necessarily need that treatment.
Correct.
We should have Perry on Meet the Movie Press. We should do.
Yeah.
That would be great. As long as Adam Devine isn't in Scream, I won't hate it.
Oh, no.
Adam Devine is funny.
He's fine.
He is fine. I just don't think he's had the right project yet. I'm getting tired of film reboots. They should be rebooted to the curb, says Kame. But you know what, Kame? The thing is, while people keep turning out for them, Hollywood's going to keep.
I mean, this
them.
Discussion's been it's a years old discussion. Like
it's been going on like since I had.
Why do we need reboots? Because people go see them.
Yeah,
people go see the nostalgia ticket is strong.
Yeah, it is. Okay, let's move on to box office this week. Thanks to everybody in the chat for taking part in that. We really appreciate some great discussions. A lot of other stories we're not going to get to, unfortunately. But let's talk about Warner Brothers' Doctor Sleep. Obviously now in theaters, widely anticipated.
Yep.
I'm glad it's out because I think we're going to now maybe not have so much editorial on it. There's a lot of content on this out there. Warner Brothers Doctor Sleep last night in previews, 1.5 million pets. So it's just fine, not great. 2.3 million in previews for Pet Sematary earlier this year, so it's down if you compare it.
Interesting.
Which is interesting.
Because Pet Sematary is a reboot.
Pet Sematary is a reboot, but also Doctor Sleep is coming off the back of The Shining, which has massive cultural references. Pet Sematary, I think, is kind of a different thing, but still 1.5 million is below what I kind of thought we were going to see.
I think once the word gets out, that's going to go up.
I think it will. I think it's also going to be a case of keeping a lot of secrets in the movies. We're looking at it going to be opening top this week with Box Office Mojo saying 25 million. I think 25, maybe 30.
For Doctor Sleep?
Yeah, but I have a little bit of concern that it's going to open below 25 million. We will have to see.
It just might.
Do you think 25 is too much?
Well, embargo's lifted on the movie, right?
Yeah.
So I think as that comes, I would like them to get to it. I like the movie a lot. I kind of worry that it will fall below the 25.
Yeah, we'll talk about the movie in a second. Last Christmas is another one we're going to review. That's coming in second place at 15 million. Terminator Dark Fate is likely to be in third place with around 13.4. Midway, another new release this week, 13 million, which hasn't exactly been pushed particularly hard. Joker, 8.5 million, rounding out the top five. And then Playing with Fire, John Cena's new comedy, which is out for families this weekend. And then Maleficent, followed by Harriet, followed by Adam's Family, and Zombieland 2 Double Tap. Zombieland 2 Double Tap, by the way, deserves your time and attention. It's very good. I don't think it's got the love
that it appreciates.
I missed
it, so I'm going to have to maybe see it this weekend.
It's worth catching. It's genuinely worth catching. Yeah, I mean, now, you know, whether you see it in theatres, I don't know, but it's still good. So let's talk about the movies coming out this week. Let's talk about Last Christmas, first of all. We've got 10 minutes left on the show for this. Last Christmas, I've got to be honest with you, it's a movie that I was really looking forward to. I love this kind of schmaltzy Christmas holiday movie. Big fan of movies like Love Actually. Last Christmas for me didn't do it. It just didn't work for me on so many levels.
Right.
For me, the script was not strong enough. I didn't buy the chemistry between the leads. It felt hammy. I mean, Emma Thompson, who I love, it just felt, that felt over the top. But the biggest thing was the fact that I guessed the twist from the trailer.
I think a lot of people, you're not the only one, a lot of people have. But also, in our prior conversation, also a lot of people hadn't. Figure that out. A lot of our friends.
I do wonder
who saw the movie with us. Like, well, I didn't know. I was like, really?
I'm like,
yeah. Okay. So,
but I mean, I just, the whole thing didn't gel for me. And there are a number of flaws in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's one particular scene, and I'm not going to spoil the movie. But there's one particular scene which doesn't make sense when you know the ending, where she is taken back to his apartment.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense when you know the end of the movie.
The first time?
The first time.
Okay.
Because how could that possibly happen?
Oh, that's true.
How could that possibly happen?
Well, okay, I have a theory, but I can't say it because that would be a spoiler. I can tell you after.
There are several things that I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Yes.
So there are a couple of things that I'm like, great the idea, but I guess it just wasn't strong enough. Your thoughts on Last Christmas?
I thought, look, I am just like you. I love a good Christmas movie. Yeah. I'm the person that watched The Christmas Prince on Netflix multiple times just because I could.
I fucking love it. My wife can't stand that movie.
The sequel wasn't as good, but the first one was fantastic. So I was like all about this movie, and I love Emilia Clarke. I love Henry Golding. The cast, I was living for it.
Yeah.
And I love the trailer. It warmed my heart. So I was very excited to see this, even though I felt like kind of like what we were talking about with trailers. Earlier, I felt like it kind of gave away a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, well, it doesn't matter. It's a Christmas movie. But I felt, I like the story. It's very cute. It's a little formulaic.
Mm.
I felt up until the third act, like the first and second act was kind of messy and scatter for me. It was just a little bit everywhere. It felt somewhat rushed, yet not concise.
The direction felt a bit light
It just felt, it was kind of, it was everywhere. Yeah. And I was like, where are we going? Which focused on so much right now. Like, where are we going? And just scenes, I don't like it when scenes kind of abruptly end and then it picks up somewhere else where it's kind of like, wait, what just happened? There was like a time lapse and did I fall asleep?
And there was another love story in there that I really wanted to see more of.
Yes.
Which I thought was possibly one of the most enchanting things in the movie.
Yeah.
And genuinely gave me, that's the thing that gave me the feels. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you know, I love Henry, I love Emilia, but for me, they just didn't work together. Paul, I love as a director. And, you know, after the last movie that he did, which is currently on Hulu, by the way,
mm-hmm.
Is incredible. And this felt, the direction was a bit of a light touch.
Yeah.
Knowing how well he can be. And he didn't have to be too heavy-handed with it because it would have made it sort of really sort of, you know, cheesy.
Yeah.
But I think it was a little bit too light on this. But I mean, for me, I mean, there were moments that I laughed at that certainly the audience that we were in didn't laugh at.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the use of wanker. I mean, you know, sporadically, I thought that was great. That was very nice to see. I also loved, you know, Emma Thompson using the word muff, which will get a huge laugh in the UK. And also Jason Statham reference, which
yes!
is great.
Oh my God. But, yeah, I cracked up real hard at that.
But the two female police officers. I thought their characters were great.
Would have liked
to
see more
every now and again, but I would have liked to see more of them.
Just at least like two, three more times. They kind of came in a little bit later, and then we didn't see them for a long time. All of a sudden, they were popping up over and over and over, and I was like, "Did you forget about them?" And then like remember to put them in.
Yeah,
like they just happened to be there, and they're like, "You want to?" I don't know. But
and then the estate agent, like who has randomly appeared at the event at the end, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's strange." But for me, the whole thing was it was a little bit sort of disjointed.
Yes, that's the right. That's a good word for it.
You know, and I don't think the influences, you know, the strengths were put on particular things that I think they could have done. But I mean, it's not awful. I mean, some people are saying it's like terrible. It's not awful.
I don't think it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a little disjointed. It felt a little I just need a more clear, concise direction with the first two acts. The third act, I was like living for it. I kind of felt, you know, the emotion a little bit, and I kind of really liked how it was ended, but it also, again, formulaic.
A lot of people are saying, let's say Paul Feig, talking about Paul Feig as a director, I love Freaks and Geeks and Spy. That's from Yash, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sad the Feig couldn't elevate the material. Yeah, I mean, me too. Kind of sick when you see that. The only person Henry Golding could have a wholesome relationship with is another Asian woman. There is this tendency that it's like people like they don't buy these relationships if the two people are not from the same. I don't. To me, that was not a factor. I don't consider that at all. But some people are making that comment. Is her boyfriend a ghost or something? Eon001. Well, if you're curious about that, I suggest you go and see Last Christmas this weekend. Okay, Doctor Sleep is. We've got 5 minutes to talk about this. It's probably the big movie this week. Obviously, likely to come in at number one.
Yeah.
Very, very happy for the director, the work that he's done, and to get such an amazing project to work on. Has had great success in the last couple of years with a brilliantly inspired series of movies. I'll be honest with you, I saw it last night and I was disappointed.
Really?
I was somewhat underwhelmed. Yeah, I mean, it for me, it felt slightly overlong.
Well, it's a Stephen King movie.
Yeah, I mean, I love The Shining.
Yeah.
The Shining is one of my favourite movies of all time. I do love the references that are in this movie and the homage that is paid to it. I didn't find it at all scary. You know, Rebecca Ferguson's character was great, but I just didn't feel she was menacing enough for me. And I just didn't feel, she didn't feel maleficent enough for me. And I mean, it's not a bad movie from my perspective.
Yeah.
But I didn't come out of it loving it as much as everybody. I mean,
okay.
It's a very competent piece of work and it's very brilliantly done.
Yes.
In the way that there was a lot riding on this movie, obviously, because Stephen King also didn't like The Shining.
Well, because it wasn't so much, like, it went really far away from the book.
Yeah, and I really respect the way that this is handled, and I think there are some great things in this movie, but overall, do you know, I didn't like it as much as I thought I was going to be. But I really like Ewan McGregor in this. The girl, I thought she was fantastic. I thought their interaction was fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, but, you know, overall, as a movie, it just didn't grip me. Your thoughts on Dr. Sleep?
Whoa, I really, really liked it. Mm. I really liked it a lot, and I had actually held off on reading Dr. Sleep prior to seeing this movie, because you know how, like, book adaptation and for into a movie, sometimes they don't follow the book exactly.
Yeah.
And just from my own personal track record, I've always liked the book better, so I saved the book to read until after so I wouldn't judge the movie so harshly.
Yeah.
Because I have to keep in mind, when you're reviewing a movie that's a book adaptation, not everybody has read that book, but a lot of people have seen the movie The Shining.
Yeah.
So there's kind of like, there's that difference, because a lot of this movie follow the book, part of the movie follow the book, and a lot of it also referenced to The Shining. And that's, you have to gently and very carefully marry the two together. So
it's
you
done
make it
very well.
It's done really,
that's
really
done
well.
Very well.
So I didn't love the third act, the ending. I didn't, I get why they did it. I didn't love it for my own reasons, because, and that's because they had to really marry the book and the Kubrick movie together to have it make sense, and a little bit of fan service, which I'm all fine with. But I really found it so haunting, so creepy. I loved seeing Ewan McGregor as Danny, and I love kind of seeing that, like, little flashbacks of, like, what happened after the Overlook, meeting Abra, who was the new character. And I absolutely loved Rebecca Ferguson. I'm such a fan of her. And I thought, very quite opposite of you, I thought she was completely horrifying and creepy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You see, there's another character in that movie that I found way more terrifying, and that was the young girl that they bring into the fold, into their pack, right at the beginning
pusher.
Of the movie. The pusher.
Yeah.
I really thought she was...
Well, that's why they... But... Yes, but I thought...
She was one of the characters, out of sort of a number of characters that held my attention in that movie.
Yeah.
She really...
So he's talking about the true not, like the people who know the book, like they know it's the true not.
Right.
So that whole group of like demon monsters, I don't know what you call them, but Rebecca Ferguson's kind of like the puppeteer of everything, and she's the boss, right? So she's the head bitch in charge, essentially. And I just felt like she's so powerful. And the abilities that she has, and just kind of feeling absolutely zero sympathy for anybody except for those within her group, is really horrifying, because she's, you know, and
that
she's
was good.
Yeah, just the most beautiful being, and seemingly kind, normal, but there's this like horrific killer instinct that's hidden right behind that, and you wouldn't even know it if she got close to you.
Yeah.
And that's what was so horrifying to me. She'll sweet talk you, and she'll say whatever she needs to say to get to what she wants. And she and I love the epic battle that we kind of see play out between the main characters.
Yeah.
And it was all up here, and that's just fascinating to me.
And for me, there are times in the movie where that really comes through, and then mm-hmm. there are other parts where, for me, I would have liked to have seen her going harder or being sort of more either end of the spectrum, you know, mm-hmm. one minute being really compassionate, the next minute being, you know, a complete cow. Mm-hmm. And I just really would have liked to have seen more of that. The seesaw didn't move enough for me.
For her character?
Okay. And I would have liked to have seen a little bit more, you know, real, you know, black and white, yin and yang. I would have really liked to have seen that.
Okay.
But, I mean, as a movie, I think it's something that people should go and see.
Yeah.
And it's not a movie that I say, don't bother going to see. I think you should see it in a movie theater because it's the way that it's shot is incredible.
And back to what you said, that if you're a fan of the movie The Shining, you're going to really like all the little bits and pieces that they put in.
It's not enforced. It's not hammy. I think it's really worth checking.
It's well
out.
Done.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I will say, check out my interview with Rainn Wilson that is on Forbes, where he also talks about Super. If you're a fan of James Gunn's Super, he genuinely has an idea for creating a sequel to Super.
Ooh.
And has spoken to the producers of Super about turning it into a TV show. So if you're fans of James Gunn's Super, do check that out this week. Wendy, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been actually really nice just having the two of us.
Yeah, it's fun.
We've got to talk about some stuff really nicely in depth, and your insight is, as always, unique, important, insightful,
thank
and
you.
Invalid. Wendy, for people that don't know, where can they find you, please?
You can find me on Collider. You can find me on YouTube at The Movie Couple Channel and on social media at Wendy Lee Zaney. I almost forgot my own handle.
That's totally fine. And you can find this show at Meebee Press on Twitter. You can also find me at Showbiz Simon on Instagram and Twitter at Showbiz Simon. Like, subscribe, share the show, leave a review. We really appreciate it, whether you're watching on YouTube or whether you are listening to this on one of the many podcast platforms that we're on. And again, like I say, the reason we're here is because of you, the audience. So thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to everybody in the chat today. Too many to mention. It's been a really good inclusion on there. Bye, Simon Westergaard. Bye, and Wendy. We'll see you soon. Wendy will be back again soon. Have a great weekend. Lots of great movies to check out. Have a great Veterans Day weekend. Thank you so much. Take care, everybody.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.